is on the move. At this time, I would like Savannah, Lexi, Cassie, Danita, Steve, if you don't mind coming down. We'll all be down here together. So when we got the opportunity to be able to do a youth-led service, we said yes. And they decided to, instead of one person giving a long devotion or message, that they would all take turns and sharing their testimonies. And that came from a time when at youth group we decided to have an open mic night. And we did worship and we invited them to come up front and give their testimonies. And it was an amazing night. And God is doing amazing things in our youth group and in the lives of many of you that are sitting here today. And we wanted to share some of those things to encourage and inspire you. So the first person that we have is actually a pre-recorded video, because that night during open mic night, they were kind of looking at me funny while I set up my phone on a tripod, but I said, I don't want anybody to miss this. I said, it'll only be shared if you give permission, but I set it next to them just in case they wanted to have that later. And it actually turned out to be a great thing, because Savannah didn't want to get up here and talk in front of anybody, but she gave me permission to share hers. So Derek is going to play that video of Savannah for us now.
So I think it was the end of 2019 when I wasn't feeling well. I wasn't eating, and I just didn't feel well. Not sleeping at night, I'd go to bed, I could barely sleep, and I'd wake up in the morning feeling exhausted. Everything felt hopeless and I didn't feel like living. I was like, how am I going to get through this day? I started praying and seeking God, because I knew that if he's good, and I knew that he could help me. I started praying and I started feeling his presence, like he really did care about me. He really did love me. But somehow, I made it through it, and I did feel God's presence. There were times I felt all alone, scared, and unsure of what was going to happen and where I was going. And one night, I was laying in bed. I couldn't sleep. It wasn't quite dark yet, but I was exhausted. And I was feeling afraid, and I was just laying there. I asked God to just fill me with his peace. And then I heard this singing. I don't know how to explain it. It's not like it was actually right there. I mean, I heard this singing. It was, "How great is our God." It would repeat that, and then I'd hear this shouting, "Forever and ever." I'd just hear that repeating and repeating. And it wasn't coming from like a, I don't know how to explain it. It was God. I don't know how to explain it. There was no one, not like my family or anything in there. I was by myself, and I didn't have any music on or anything, but I heard that singing. And I still felt a little bit afraid and unsure, but yet I kind of felt comforted in that. I had blood work done and found that I had an autoimmune disease, hypothyroidism, whatever, and they put me on medication. Well, I had the idea that if I'd stop taking it, that God would just heal me. Well, that was not a good idea, because I had to learn the hard way, I guess. I went for quite a while. I stopped taking my medication without my parents even knowing. And things were not getting better. I kept thinking in my mind that God is going to heal me yet. But yeah, I couldn't really believe it. I mean, it was so bad, I couldn't really believe it, that God would actually heal me. Then I went on a trip with some of my cousins. She was along. That was a really rough week. I could barely enjoy it. I was tired, I was not sleeping well, and I was exhausted, and I kept battling these thoughts in my mind. I was a mess, and I came back, and I felt closeness to God, but yet I felt like I needed help. Things kind of got worse. I got scared and stuff, and I wasn't sleeping well. and my heart would start beating really fast, and I didn't know how to make it stop. It would scare me. And, well, my parents knew about it then, that I wasn't taking my medication. Well, then we started doing that again, taking that. Still, I wasn't feeling very well. It took a while till I was actually feeling somewhat okay. I went into the bathroom one time. I was just so sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. And I asked God to just heal me. I raised my hands to God. I was just standing there and told him to heal me. And I felt this feeling come through my arms, the sensation. I don't even know how to explain it. I knew it was God. I knew it was his healing. Yeah, it was just like coming down and flowing through me. But I still wasn't feeling quite right. I mean, I didn't feel like that was really it. And I don't think it was necessarily, I mean, it was a physical problem, but yeah, there was an emotional problem too, because yeah, I'd been hurt. Well, I didn't really trust many people anymore. So we left the Mennonite church. They didn't exactly agree with us anymore. And I didn't really feel accepted anymore. And I just kind of felt pushed away, like, yeah, you don't really matter. I didn't really have very many friends or people I was really close with. I mean, I had my cousins, but yet, I didn't really feel safe. When I was a child, little girl, I was really outgoing, and I'd just go up to people and talk to them. And I was really talkative and outgoing, and there were a lot of people that noticed that I really changed, and I wasn't that how I used to be, and I just kind of shut down and didn't really feel confident anymore and just kind of backed away from people. I felt really lonely. I really wanted a friend. Someone I could just talk with, someone I could be myself with, but I didn't know who to trust. And back then I thought the problem was I was just weird and nobody wanted to be with me, but there were things that were hurting within me that held me back from being able to make friends or go up to people and talk to them. I'd often just sit in the corner and watch other people, and inside I felt angry and frustrated, like, why does nobody understand me? Why do I feel so weird and out of place? I just wanted to be understood and loved for who I was. Well, back then I didn't know what I was really longing for was God's love, his goodness. Once I started seeking him, something changed. I felt his love and realized how much he really loved me. It helped me realize that what I'm really after is not the love from just people around me, but really God's love. In his love, there is no fear. In his love, I am complete and I am fulfilled.
Thank you for sharing that, Savannah. You'll have a chance to talk with Savannah here in a little bit if you like. Well, they'll all be coming down together. Next, I have for you Cassie. She's my daughter and a member of the youth group here, and she also has a testimony she would like to share with you today.
Hi. Okay, so back in November of last year, it was like the very beginning of that month, I was really struggling. I had a lot just going on, I guess, and I started going way downhill. I was depressed all the time. I had really bad thoughts. I was really insecure, and I resulted into cutting, and I would wear long sleeve shirts every day to school, and I guess somebody had seen it, like some of it coming off onto my shirt or something, and I guess they reported it to the counselor, and I got called up to the counselor's office in the middle of my health class at school one day, and I kind of had a feeling that it was for my arms, and so I went in there and I sat down, and the counselor goes, somebody told me that you have been hurting yourself, and she asked me if it was true, and I was shaking so bad, like, I couldn't say anything. I just sat there and looked at her, and she goes, can I see your arms? And I pulled up my sleeves, and she didn't say anything. She just looked at me. And she told me she was going to have to call my parents and tell them about what happened. And I said, okay. And so she told me I could go back to class, and I went back to class, and I sat down, and I bawled my eyes out. And thankfully, my three best friends, Abby, Sierra, and Kimmy, were there, and they helped comfort me. And I told them what happened, and then I got called back up to the office later, and I was told I was leaving. So I got in the car, and I talked to my mom about everything, and I told her kind of what was going on. And then I had a long talk with my dad about it, too. And I stopped cutting, and I got better, and I told my cousin Amariah about what happened, and he gave me a piece of scripture that I read, and it's Psalms 34, 17 through 18. The righteous cries out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. At that point, I realized that I wasn't really reaching out to God at all, and I hadn't prayed or anything. And so I started reading my Bible, and I read that scripture multiple times over, and I started praying, and I started talking to my friends about my problems and my family, and I started getting a lot better. And like to this day, I feel amazing, and I haven't really had any of those problems. So, God.
Next, I have Danita. She's also a member of our youth group and has a testimony to share with you today.
My name is Danita, and I'd like to share with you a miracle God has done for me and some lessons he has taught me. About a year ago, I had an accident where I fell from a homemade zip line. The zip line was a T-handle that went out across the pond. I did not have the strength in my arms to hold my weight, and I fell roughly 20 feet to the ground before I was able to make it to the water. Some of my family was in the pond when I fell, but when they got to me, they could see that my left wrist was obviously broken. They had me taken by ambulance to the hospital to make sure there were no other injuries. When they called 911, we realized that we didn't even know the address we were at. But the dispatcher was Courtney, a granddaughter of Jay and Susie. And thankfully, she knew the address we were at and was able to direct the first responders and EMS to where we were at. When the ambulance got there, they weren't able to drive back to me since we were back in Jay and Susie's woods. But with one of the first responders' pickups that had a slide-out bed, they were able to get me to the ambulance without much difficulty. They backboarded me and hauled me out of the woods to the ambulance. At the hospital, they did a CAT scan and x-rays, and thankfully the only thing they found was that my wrist was badly broken and needed surgery. So 3 days later, after swelling went down, we went back to the hospital for surgery. They put in nine screws and a plate in my wrist. My face was also badly bruised. But everything has healed up very well, and God has been so good to me through all of this. When I fell, I did not fall straight down, but I turned and was almost facing the opposite direction when I landed. I was told that is unusual. Often when you fall straight down. I believe that to be a miracle. If I would have fell straight down, I could have landed a lot differently and been injured a lot worse. Also, there was a big rock sticking out of the ground only inches from my head. I also came off pain meds a lot sooner than we expected, which I am also very grateful for. God has taught me some very important lessons through this accident. Before this, I had been praying that I could be able to hear him speak to me more clearly. When I was still trying to decide if I wanted to do the zip line, I was feeling like I shouldn't do it, but I ignored that still small voice and did it anyway. Through this, he showed me that he was speaking to me, but I just wasn't listening. He also showed me that the decisions we make not only affect us, but those around us. My dad also told me later that he had an uneasy feeling and immediately started praying for my protection. Also, something that stood out to me was that I have gotten 8 stitches now. All 3 times I got 8 stitches. The number 8 represents a new beginning. So I believe every time I got stitches, in some way there is a new beginning for me. I am also very grateful for all the prayers I received and those who came and visited me. It really helped brighten my days. And I just want to end with this. Take time to stop and listen when you hear that still small voice. Deuteronomy 27:10 says, "Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes which I command this day." And just remember this verse when you're going through something tough. Deuteronomy 31:8, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed."
Thank you, Nadina. I'm actually going to have Steve come up next. So for those of you who don't know, this is Steve Moore and his family are here. His wife and kids, 3 kids are here today. And he's been on our prayer request list. If you look in the back of the bulletin, he's actually still on there this morning. I invited him here today because we were sharing testimonies, and he has an awesome one to share with you. Steve and Marty and I were in school together, so we've been friends for a long time, and Alex used to be my coworker, so they've been friends of us for a while now. So come on up, Steve.
I guess compared to these guys, I'm not much of a youth. I went to high school with a lot of you guys 20 years ago. I guess my testimony would kind of begin on a high note. My wife and I were married in September, almost a year ago today. Actually, it was September 20th of last year. We were married at the beginning of the pandemic. I had decided that my day job was no longer necessary. I decided to pursue music full time, as you know. And I thought, you know, I'd really been blessed, and I really had been blessed. You know, I had a new family starting, and my career was blossoming into something that I really was going, you know, thought I was going places, still do, but you know, shortly after we were married, we learned that my wife was pregnant with our second child, Jude, who is helpfully here with us today, 6 weeks old now. But after we got married and we found out we were pregnant, I got strep throat at the beginning of the new year, and didn't think much of it, you know, thought I'd be okay, and wasn't feeling better after my Z-Pack, you know. I didn't know what was going on, I just knew I didn't feel quite right, and so my wife and my mother, you know, they hounded me and talked me into going to the doctor again, and they ran the blood work and did, you know, do all the things that they normally do to see what's going on with you, and they said, "Well, we think you have a viral infection of some sort, and because your blood looks a little weird." And so I said, okay, and I went home and didn't get to feeling any better after that. And so once again, they talked me into, they said, "We'll just monitor your blood work." And so went in there again, and they decided it probably wasn't anything like that. But they said, you know, this could be something bad, but we're not going to say that that's something bad yet. You know, we're going to wait and see. And I took that as, okay, you're probably fine. Just keep going about your daily business. And then after that, I was, you know, finally, I had gotten scheduled to get a bone marrow biopsy to see if it was cancerous or what the you know, they had thrown around the word leukemia, and I didn't know what that really was. I mean, a little bit, but didn't really know what it meant. And then, you know, after they did the bone marrow biopsy, they said, yeah, you definitely have leukemia, so we need to get you on treatment right away. You have a very aggressive kind. You know, it's got a poor prognosis for a 5-year survival rate compared to a lot of other cancers. So that was kind of when the journey towards something we take for granted every day began, you know, just a healthy life. And it became very, very necessary. And I don't know that I would be here right now had I not been so thankful just to be alive at those points, you know, just to be, you know, I did my best to throw my burden on the Lord and not to, you know, take it on myself, because I knew physically I was too weak at that point. You know, I wasn't going to be able to do it. But I tried to every day, you know, just give thanks that I was alive, give thanks that there was a chance, if anybody had a fighting chance, it was going to be me. And I prayed, you know, I mean, hours upon hours in the hospital bed. You have nothing else to do but to pray. And you really give thanks and put things into perspective. And I think that my personal testimonial, if there's one thing I can say, that throwing your burden on the Lord when things get rough is a must. It's without that, you guys, none of us, we wouldn't have the strength to do it on our own. I think that that's kind of, it's a source of strength to all of us, as well as the prayers that we all, you know, the people we include, that energy and that those prayers, I think, I wholeheartedly believe, come back to help us. So I want to say thanks to all you guys who have said prayers for all the people who are struggling here and on your prayer list and stuff. And, you know, throw your burden on him, and, you know, he'll bless you. So thank you guys for having me up here.
Thanks, Steve. Next, I have Lexi Buck with us today. And I'm honored to have each and one of these ones here with us today. Lexi's going to end with her story. And Lexi has dug in with the youth group here not so distantly. She was one of the main workers at 3MT with all those that worked on projects in town. We got to really know her well during that time, so we consider her, even though she's graduated, she's still a part of our youth.
Morning, everybody. My name is Lexi Buck. I'm 17 years old, and I attend First Baptist Church there in Versailles, and I was just thrilled to come and share my testimony with you today. You wouldn't believe how amazing it feels just to be standing here today. As some of you probably know, last month I was in the ICU with COVID pneumonia for about 10 days. My mother and I were sick at the same time, and we ended up in two different hospitals. For most of the week, I wasn't conscious enough to know just how severely ill either one of us were. But every waking moment felt like an eternity. The mental challenge of lying in the hospital trapped inside your own mind was just as hard as the physical struggle to breathe. To calm myself, I just prayed and prayed for peace and comfort, and I've never drawn closer to God in my life. My physical body was pretty much done. I could feel how close to death I was. And to be honest, I just wanted to be done. I even begged God to take me home. I was in that much pain and mental distress. And I was absolutely okay with going to heaven. I had complete confidence in where I was going. Now, I don't mean to go down a rabbit trail, but I plan on going to college to study ultrasound. With the degree, I feel called to volunteer at the local pregnancy help center as their sonographer. So in that ICU bed, I could hear my heartbeat, bum, 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 bum. And I thought, listen, my heart's still beating. It's beating for a reason. God wants me here, and I'm not going to give up. And I have to go to school to show mothers their child's heartbeat. And that realization is what kept me here, gave me a mission, my purpose for life. In my distress, I begged for God's comfort. Then I felt God's physical hand twice. I was lying on my right side, and I felt a hand on my left. No one else was in the room, and it was the most incredible feeling ever. According to the nurses and my family, about 12 hours later, I made a turnaround just like that. A miraculous healing it was. I'll tell you what, before all this happened, I knew I didn't fear God. I focused on his loving and compassionate traits, but by the end of the week, I was pretty terrified of him. I could feel the tiniest drop of his power. He held my life in his hands even when I felt it slipping away from me. Needless to say, I fear him now, and it's a good terrified, really. One of my interests is astronomy, space, planets, stars, galaxies, all of it. It just fascinates me. So I thought, the God who made the entire universe saved me. and he looked at me and said, I still need you to do something for me. I'm going to share a few quotes. Louis Zamperini once said, a moment of pain is a lifetime of glory. In the hospital, it didn't feel like a moment, but I knew if I got out of there, there'd be a lifetime of glory. It's the same when it comes to life here on earth. It's going to feel like the blink of an eye when we all get to heaven. We just have a job to do before we go home. And for my last quote, I chose from the movie I Still Believe. We paint with brushes, and he paints with a billion stars and a trillion galaxies. The God of a trillion stars knows my name, and he has a destiny for me. Remember that today, and be overjoyed that you're alive, and God still wants to use you. Last month, or a couple weeks ago, September 2nd, my precious, kind mama, Kim Buck, completed her mission on Earth and was called home to heaven. Her battle with COVID was long and hard, but now she's in the most wonderful place now with our Lord. She was the most energetic and encouraging person, always with a radiant smile on her face. She served the Lord with gladness and taught my sister and I to do the same. Although I'm pretty brokenhearted about without my mom, I know I have peace knowing that she's no longer suffering and she's with Jesus forever and ever. And one day I'll get to see her again. But for now, I'll continue to share my story, our story, and make Christ's name known. Many of you know might know this song, I Still Believe, by Jeremy Camp. He wrote, I still believe in your faithfulness. I still believe in your truth. I still believe in your holy word, even when I don't see. So even after the tragedy that we've been through, my proclamation today is that I still believe.